tonight and turn to the book of 2 Peter, please. The book of 2 Peter. The book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. Please pray for us tonight. We've had a busy week. We've been in the hay and work and different things. And please pray for us. The Lord will help us tonight. Please pray for our barn meeting coming up a week from tomorrow night. I hope you can help us in it, support it, invite folks, pray for it. That's out at the house, out on C-Tick Road. And I hope you'll pray for the meeting. Pray for us tomorrow. I took a day off tomorrow. And we'll be going back to Albany, Kentucky, and preaching another camp meeting tomorrow, Lord willing. So you pray as we travel. I travel 127 north, and that's a crooked road and dangerous road somewhat. So you pray for us as we travel. All right? In the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. It begins very much like 1 Peter, chapter number 1. It said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained life precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, have you faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see them afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old father. Brethren, give diligence to make the call and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please pray with me again and for me. Father, I bow again. It's preaching time again. And Lord, as I go along, I'm made more aware how badly we need you. Please help me tonight. I realize how bad I need the help of the Lord. Would you please touch my mind, my body, just for these few minutes, and allow me to preach these wonderful truths from the Word of God. Would you bless me? Would you help us? Would you give us liberty tonight? Let us be able to think clearly tonight, that we can be able to speak clearly. Bless our fellowship together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. The Apostle Peter, what a great man that he was. Here he refers to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. What about that? I tell you, that's a great statement to make, being a servant. That literally means a slave or a bondman. In other words, Peter realized that he was bought by the Lord's blood, and that his life, his all, everything belonged to the Lord. His service was rendered unto the Lord. Of course, out of a heart of love for Christ, but yet he felt like a bondman, a bond slave, a bond servant, been bought by the Lord. Amen? I tell you, we are not our own, but we are bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter, we're told that according to history, Peter died about A.D. 66, and it was in the 12th year of the reign of Nero. So probably from what we read in this epistle, Peter was probably about ready from what he states. Much shortly, he said, put off this tabernacle, meaning he's going to die. So if that was going to happen shortly, it was probably not many years before A.D. 66. So, you know what tradition says about his death. But what a great servant that Peter finally made for the Lord. Now, if anybody in the early church knew any importance at all about being on the alert, it was the Apostle Peter. You see, it was he that had the tendency in early years to feel overconfident when really things was very dangerous around him. He was one that overlooked the Master's warnings when the Lord would try to warn him of what he was going to face in his life. But you know, he learned. He really learned. Peter was one. He rushed ahead when he should have waited. I know a lot of people like that. And that was the characteristic of Simon Peter. He was one that slept when he should have been praying. I mean, he had such a fellowship. I started to say relationship. But his relationship was no different than any other apostle's relationship. Your relationship to God tonight is no different. If you're saved, you're a child of God. Your relationship is no different than anybody else. You're a child of God, son or daughter. Your relationship is the same. Our fellowship and our association and our nearness can be a lot different. And Peter was one of those that had such golden opportunity and such privilege to fellowship with the Lord in many occasions where others did not have that close fellowship. Peter and James and John had the opportunity of going to the Garden of Gethsemane as close friends to pray and to watch with their Lord. But while Jesus prayed, they slept. I'm telling you, Peter was one that had a tendency to sleep when he should have prayed. Does he not really understand, my Christian, my believer, how alert you need to be in your Christian life, lest that something or take you to sidetrack you in your faith and in your Christian life? Peter talked when he should have listened. I know a lot of folks like that, and I myself also have been like that on occasion, but he learned by his mistake. And that's what we need to do in life, is learn by our mistake. Peter was courageous, and courage is a mighty great thing. Amen. But I'm telling you, he was careless, though he was courageous. Now, as I look at this epistle, we have just gone through the book of 1 Peter, and the book of 1 Peter emphasized grace. That's the emphasis, the grace of God. The God of all grace is what Peter said about God and God's grace. And we talked much from that epistle about the grace of God. My, I'm glad to know of God's wonderful, amazing grace. And it is still amazing. And when it ceases to be amazing, it ceases to be grace. Amen. That's right. And he talked so much in that first epistle about grace. But in the second epistle, the thought here and the emphasis is on knowledge. That's right. I am told, I didn't take time to count them. Sometimes when this is mentioned, I take my time, go through the scriptures, and I mark every time and count to make sure the commentator is right in his math. But I didn't take the time to do that. But I am told that you'll find the word know the word knowledge 13 times in this epistle. So we're dealing with the subject in our Christian life about knowledge. Now, knowledge is an important thing. I think intellectual knowledge is a pretty good thing to have. Amen? Sometimes I try to just be quiet so that I do not show my ignorance. I use a dictionary a lot because I don't understand a lot of times the real meaning of a word. I read a word and had it in my notes this morning, but when I got to that word, I didn't even try to pronounce it because I was afraid I'd mess it up and not pronounce it right, so I just let it go. And it would have been great to have been able, I guess, for those that have a good education to have used it and talked about it. But anyway, what I'm saying, knowledge is not a bad thing if we use it right. Amen? If we don't let it puff us up, as the Bible says, knowledge will do. Knowledge puffeth up, it says. And, you know, there's a lot of people. In fact, if a man thinks he knows something, we need to understand that what little knowledge we have is very limited to what the knowledge of God, and a lot of times very limited to the knowledge that others have. But we're not just talking about knowledge. Peter is not just talking about the intellect. I believe this with all my heart. I don't think Peter is just talking about the intellectual understanding of some truth, though this is included, but this word knowledge means a living participation in the truth, a living participation in the truth. You see, it's not just knowing that Jesus is Savior. Praise God, it's participating in that truth, receiving Christ as your Savior, enjoying Him as your Savior, realizing you have eternal life because He is our Savior. What we're talking about is knowledge in the sense of what Jesus said in John 17:3, when Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." That's the real thing, neighbor. It's not so much how much you know about the Bible. It's not so much about how much you know about Jesus. But do you really know Him in a personal way? That's the kind of knowledge that we're dealing with here in this epistle. I'm glad I know the Lord tonight. Now, in this second letter, this second epistle, Peter opens the letter with a description of the Christian life. Now, in the latter part of this book, Peter, and we'll study it, he deals with the counterfeit religion. You know, there's still folks that there's counterfeits. That's right. I reckon everything has something that's artificial or counterfeit or not real. I mean, you know, somebody said, "Pass the butter." Well, there ain't been no butter in your house in 25 years. Amen. It's margarine. It's oleo. Amen. It ain't butter. I mean, it's something else. Butter's made out of cow milk. Amen. The cream off of milk. That's butter. That other stuff's made out of plants and vegetables and so on. But and just like that, there's some folk not real. Amen. They're counterfeit. There's preachers that counterfeit. You say preacher, yeah, it is right. That's what Peter deals with in this epistle. Now, you know what I preach. You've been here much at all. I don't think Baptist people are the only ones going to heaven. Ain't a lot of people going to heaven. In fact, anybody that's saved by the grace of God is going to heaven. And if they ain't saved, it don't matter how many Baptist times they've been baptized, how many Baptist churches they belong to, or how many Baptist preachers with their grandpas and uncles. I'm telling you, you've got to be saved by the grace of God, and you got to know the Lord. But there's counterfeit religion. And Peter deals with that in the latter part of this book. But before he deals with the counterfeit, he deals with the real. I was told years ago, never worked in a bank. I don't have no desire to work in a bank. Amen. I might be tempted to steal $25. But anyway, I don't want to work in a bank. I handle enough money at Tocoa. Amen. I don't want to work in the bank. But I've been told that when they train tellers and so forth concerning money, that they show them what the real $1 bill looks like, and what the real 20 looks like, what the real 100 looks like, and when you know what the real is, you can recognize that which is not real. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad. And I don't think I'm the only Christian in the world. Hey, I tell you, there's a lot of folks saved by the grace of God, and I love every one of them. They're my brothers and sisters. We're going to live in heaven and glory together. Hallelujah. Praise God. That makes me happy in my soul. The Baptists don't have a monopoly on it. Amen. But you've got to be saved and know the Lord if you're ever going to live with Jesus in eternity. Makes sense to you? Makes a whole lot of sense to me. But he deals later with the false. I lost my word. Counterfeit. That's what I did. Amen. There's that which is real, and there's that which is counterfeit. There's a real gospel, biblical message, and there's a whole lot of stuff that's a bunch of hogwash and has not the whole truth within it. Amen. Used illustration a number of times. Amen. That thing's as dry as last year's bird's nest. If it's got any smell about it, I can't smell it. Amen. Pretty. Oh, yeah. Looks good. Yeah. I think my wife bought that, so I'm treading on thin ice. Amen. But it ain't got no smell to it, Brother Bullard. Amen. I mean, yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks good, don't it? Ain't no lie. That's way a lot of religion. I'm preaching the wrong message, but not the right one. But I'm telling you, everything that glistens is not gold, man. There's no life in that. There's a lot of religion. Ain't got no life in it. But if you know Jesus Christ and He lives in your soul, you've got life within you. Amen. That's right. That's right. So, Peter, before he describes the counterfeit, he describes true believers, and he gives us three affirmations about the true Christian life. And I'm not going to deal with all three of them, but here we go. The first one is that Christian life begins with faith. Amen. Amen. I know some of our forefathers baptized babies. We don't baptize babies because the Christian life don't begin in a Christian home. The Christian life don't begin in a Christian church. The Christian life begins with faith in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where it begins for everybody. That's right. It begins with faith. Peter's writing to those that have obtained like precious faith. You see, he says, Peter, writing unto them, I think it's the same people he's writing to in the first epistle, the strangers that were scattered abroad in Asia Minor. But not only are they people that scattered, praise God, they are believers and they have like precious faith. What Peter is saying is we've seen the Lord and we are apostles. And we've seen Him for our very selves, and we have faith. But the faith that you have, though you have not seen Him, is just as precious, and it's the same faith that we have in trusting Christ. Like precious faith. Amen. Right. So it's not necessary to see the Lord as the apostles saw Him, to be able to love Him, to be able to trust Him, to be able to share His glory. Praise God. It's by faith Now we enjoy that. Now let me point out something. Look in this last phrase of verse number 1. Let me read the entire verse. Look at the last phrase. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, Peter believed in the deity of Christ. There's a lot of modernists that would deny the deity of Jesus Christ. If you really want to know how far off or how close a belief, a religion, or a denomination is, you ask them who Jesus really is. We've got one group that I don't think's hardly growing like it once did in Rome County. They have the Kingdom Hall. But they say that Jesus was not the Creator. He was a created being. I'm telling you, by all things were made by Him, and there was not anything made that wasn't made by Him. Hallelujah, amen? And He is before all things, and by Him, all things consist. Hey, neighbor, He was there when the words were spoken, let us make God in our image. Amen. He was right there when it started happening. And Peter believed that. And this phrase, God our Savior, is not talking about two different people, but it's talking about the Lord Jesus, the God-man. God our Savior, the person Jesus Christ. Paul declared the same truth. So tonight, there are some things that we can fellowship around the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible said that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh as the Son of God. And every spirit that confesses that is of God. And every spirit that denies that is the spirit of Antichrist. Amen? And I'm preaching all the other different tonight. What I intended to preach, but that's the way it is, folks. And He's our Savior. He's God, our Savior. Emmanuel, God upon the earth, God with mankind. Thank God, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. That's pointed out 4 times, our Savior in 2 Peter. I counted those. It is so important that one understands that Jesus is the Savior. So important. I'm convinced that there's been children that felt like, because they went forward and talked with a preacher and got baptized, that they were saved. And some of those people will tell so-and-so saved me. I was 10 years old when preacher so-and-so saved me. I mean, how have we allowed that to happen? I mean, why did that happen? I mean, if a 5-year-old child comes along and says, preacher, I'm a sinner and I want to be saved. I'm going to try my best to lead that child to the Lord. But I can't. But you say, preacher, that's elementary. It's elementary, but we've missed it, friend. It's the Lord that does the Savior. He does the Savior. He's the Savior. It's not the preacher. It's not the church. It's not some religion. It's Christ. Christ is. The Lord Jesus is our Savior. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's that simple to me. It's that simple. Well, he's our Savior. Thank God, I'm glad he's my Savior. I'm glad he's your Savior. I'm glad he's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Amen. That's right. He's the Savior. Now, keep in mind, as I've already stated, to be our Savior, he had to die in our stead and take upon himself our sins, to satisfy the demands of the holy law. In this passage of the Word of God, we are shown that our Lord has three spiritual commodities. Amen. You know, I think about Food City, and I think about Kroger, you know, and Walmart. Man, just shelf after shelf of different items and things that you can purchase. And there's stuff there that I don't know. You know, back when years ago, the old timers, they went to the store and about all they got was flour, sugar, and meat. They had the eggs and they traded in. That's why the old timers talk about trading. I know a lady that's about 80 year old and she still goes to trade and she ain't traded nothing in 50 years probably, but she still got to go trade. You know, that was, and that's what they did. But they had the basis, but now we got everything. And you know what? But there's some things that you can't buy Food City ain't got. And Kroger ain't got. And Walmart ain't got. Had people come in the other day at the court and he said to you, he said, do you have pickle and spices? And I said, we do not. He said, I can't find them nowhere. And I said, there's maybe it is IGA. Used to be Pruitt's in Rockville. I said, they might have it. I said, I remember one time I was hunting sausage seasoning and I couldn't find it in any of the stores. And I went down there and got me some sausage. And you know, every now and then you'll find something at one place you can't find nowhere. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus has got something that you just give it to drugstore. You can't give it to hardware store. You can't give it to grocery store. I mean, the Lord has got something, and how desperately the world is in need of what He's got, and yet for passing it by and doing without it and feeling so empty and feeling so needy, but yet they fail to realize and fail to reach out to what the Lord has to offer. First of all, He's got righteousness. Secondly, He's got grace. And thirdly, He's got peace, and you can't find them on the shelf. But the Lord can give them to you. You see, when we trust Him as our Savior, His righteousness becomes our righteousness, and we are given a right standing before God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Grace is God's favor to the undeserving. I'm sure you've heard this, but I don't know any better explanation, neither do I know of any better comparison, that grace, mercy rather, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. And then grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Praise God, man. I tell you, He's had it all, and I've been a recipient of this, the mercy and grace of our God. That's right. And the result of this experience of salvation, when we receive God's imputed righteousness and God extends His grace to us, the result of this experience is called peace. Can I share something with you tonight? And I don't want to sound like I'm a spiritual giant. I still have my battles and I still have my struggles. But when I trusted Christ as an 18-year-old boy, I had a lot of perplexity for 15 years. I had a lot of doubts to deal with. Had a lot of struggles emotionally. I was a single man and just out of high school. I promise you, I had a lot of emotional struggles. I would have never dreamed, and I'm not bragging, I'm just bragging on Jesus, and I'm just bragging on what God has done for me. Do you understand? I'm just telling you what God has done for me. If you'd have told me when I was 20 years old that I could enjoy what I'm enjoying in my spirit and in my heart, the peace that I enjoy tonight, the fact I know that I'm undeserving, I fail so miserably, Joe, I disappoint the Lord. I'm ashamed of myself. Honestly, I'm telling you from my heart, the honest truth. There's many times I'm ashamed of myself. But I understand, dear Ronnie, that when God saved me, He took my sins and took them to the cross. Hallelujah. And they gone. And when he did that, he clothed me with his righteousness. And when he sees me now, he sees me for not as I am, but he sees me clothed in the righteousness of God, washed in the precious. Hallelujah. Man, that brings me peace. I can put my head on a pillow tonight and know that all is well. And praise God, if I don't get to eat breakfast at the house in the morning, I can eat breakfast with Jesus. I'm telling you, neighbor, it's good to know that God is your Savior. You receive the grace and the righteousness and the peace that God gives in your soul tonight. Hallelujah. Real, genuine peace. Somebody said, preacher, do you not realize? Oh yeah, I realize what you have. I think about every day what my happens. I think about when them kids get in the cars, head off to school. I think about when them grandkids get those grandkids head to school, and Brad, and April, and their family. Leave the home of the morning. Yeah, I know what can happen. And I'm, I understand. Preacher, do you? Yeah, I know what all can happen. I'm aware of it. But I'm going to tell you, there's a God that's been with me. And there's a God that will give me grace. And he'll give me peace. Oh, yeah, there'll be tears. Man, born a woman a few days before trouble. I mean, man, yeah, there's going to be tears. There's going to be disappointment. But I'm telling you what I believe. Honestly, I really believe that the harder things get and the more that we look to the Lord, the sweeter He gets to our spirit and our soul. Peace. God. The commodity that God has. Oh, how we need to receive of God's grace and God's peace. Oh yes, friends. In fact, according to Peter, they are multiplied. Verse number 2. I need to quote. I like the thing. That's enough. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall garrison your heart and mind. Shall build the peace of God will be like a great big fort that's built around your mind and around your heart. Yeah. This Christian life begins with faith and it continues with faith. And God is the author and the finisher of that faith. Just about here, Daniel. I wonder tonight. You got real peace. You got genuine peace. Are you trusting Christ for your every need? Have you really ever trusted Him to save your soul? Surely, if you can trust God to save your eternal soul, you can trust God to meet your daily needs and to be your dearest friend all the days of your life. Are you in prayer meeting tonight? God bless you. You see, friend, it's hard. I'm not telling you it's easy. I'd be lying to you if I told you it's easy. But it's not easy. It's hard to slip in a prayer closet just you and the Lord. And sometimes that's what you need to do, you see. When Jesus was facing the cross, He took Peter and James and John close to the tree and left them at one place, and He went a little farther. I mean, He went a little farther. And He said, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There's peace when you just make that commitment to the Lord. My, how we need to do that. How we just need to do that tonight. Oh, friend. Oh, what great peace can be yours. The songwriter said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What about it tonight? There's an altar bench on this side. There's an altar bench on this side. There's places to pray all around this building tonight. Why don't you make your way to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your grace. You may be struggling tonight with this matter, not knowing you're saved or not. You feel dirty and wretched. You know you're not ready to meet God. Won't you come tonight and let Him give you His righteousness and a good standing before the Lord? Would you come, Father? Bless the invitation, I humbly pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you come while we sing? Please come. Would you come? Please come.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial light strengthened unceasingly.
I pray, God, that you'd help us make a full commitment to Christ. That you would commit everything to
coming down from the Father above. Sweep up my spirit forever, I pray.
Help her ministry.
In fathomless billows of love. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace. Very deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity peace, wonderful peace, coming